Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Companies to watch.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. I'm Elliot Dank. Ryan Huang returns in just a while with a finance update. Time now for our companies to watch. And I didn't realize this. It's been a decade since Tim Cook took over the reins at Apple following the demise of its founder, Steve Jobs. Just how much has he achieved in the past 10 years? Well, a lot, it seems. In fact, an in-depth piece by journalists Austin Carr and Mark Gurman, published on Bloomberg, calls Apple the $2.3 trillion fortress that Tim Cook built. I mean, Tim Cook has grown Apple stock more than 1,000%, if you really look at it. And he was the architect behind Apple's strategy to outsource production to China. That's a sore point for the Trump administration, if you remember. That was the time that Apple was really thriving, right? He has become known as a master in deflecting political pressure in a polarized environment. But is that really enough for the next Apple CEO? Meanwhile, Tim Cook's 10th anniversary, for which he received a whopping $750 million bonus, comes as Apple's annual iPhone release rolls around September 14th. It begs the question, what more can the iPhone do that it can't already do? Well, satellite features. Yeah, well, let's find out a little bit more from Adam Wong, editor-in-chief of The Fifth Person. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Elliot. Thank you for having me.
This is going to be a fun conversation talking about Apple. First things first, let's talk about the main man, Tim Cook. Tell us a little bit, you know, based on your observations, you know, what's his leadership DNA? You know, what about it has made Apple such a dominant force? You know, it's more than a brand, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think he had really big shoes to fill. And when he came in, you could see he was like a safe pair of hands, someone who wouldn't rock the boat. And I think he was a pretty good choice. Coming after someone like Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs was a visionary CEO. But Tim Cook was somebody that could, you know, kind of like just carry on with what Jobs was able to do with Apple all those years. I think Tim Cook shared in a Duke University talk, I think, in 2013, that his leadership was focused on people, strategy, and execution. So I think you can see that the way he runs Apple is really based on those three things. And Apple has really come on a really, really long way. And you don't hear a bad thing about Tim Cook, right? He's just been there doing his job and he's done tremendously well. He's tripled Apple's revenue. He's launched new products in wearables, you know, Apple Watch, AirPods, which I think is a great product. And he's grown a constellation of services around Apple products, like, you know, iCloud, Apple Pay, Apple Music, Apple TV and stuff like that. So I think he's done a really, really good job.
Yeah, you're right. You don't really hear a lot of stuff about Tim Cook. He's just there getting the job done. And according to a report, Tim Cook wants to oversee one more major new product category before he steps down as CEO. Wait a minute. So Apple's already, you know, so big when it comes to smartphones, computers, smartwatches. You talked about some of the services that they provide. Now you have a satellite-enabled iPhone. We'll get to that in just a while. Adam, what could this new category possibly be?
Yeah, I think one of the criticisms about Tim Cook is that he's not really a visionary, right? Not like Steve Jobs,
yeah.
Steve Jobs was like, he shifted the paradigm for so many products. And Cook hasn't really done that. But then, like I said, he's a safe pair of hands. But then if he wants to launch a new product category, it's been rumored to be augmented reality AR headset. Whoa. Yeah, that's pretty cool, right? So that's rumored to launch in the second quarter of 2022. And as you know, Cook is big on wearables. He launched the Apple Watch. So this could be something that's up his alley. But then with Apple, you don't really know what's going to happen. They keep their secrets really, really tight. So you don't know what's going to come out. The other one could be the Apple electric car. A lot of people have been talking about it. It's supposed to be fully autonomous, like level 5 autonomous. I think if they manage to do that, that would be groundbreaking because no one has been able to achieve that sort of autonomous driving yet. Even a Tesla is just at a level 2.
Yeah.
So that will be really exciting.
If he does that, then, you know, he deserves to be called a visionary in that sense. If you think about it, you know, when you're the boss and you grow your company's stock by more than 1,000%, you know, the kind of shoes that any successor has to fill is almost impossible. But there will come a time where that's going to happen, and it's going to happen in the year 2025. He's expected to step down then. Right now, though, if we look at some of the executives, who are those that are in the running to take over? Who are the potentials? Who's potentially got the same clout as Tim Cook?
All right, the most obvious name would be the current COO, Jeff Williams. So as you know, I mean, Tim Cook was the CEO himself. He took over Steve Jobs. So Jeff Williams, he runs Apple's entire supply chains and operations. So he's someone that could come in and basically just take over the role, and he's been at, you know, Apple for a long time. Another one is John Ternus. He's the chief of Apple's hardware engineering, so he leads the Mac, iPhone, iPad, you know, Apple TV, AirPods engineering teams. So that's a pretty important role, and he's much younger. I think he's 46 years old, so he could be, you know, a possible CEO as well. But you know, Cook's is rumored to leave in 2025. That's still years away, so anything could happen in the meantime.
Yeah, always good to plan ahead, I suppose. We're on the line this morning with Adam Wong, Editor-in-Chief for The Fifth Person, helping us out on companies to watch. So let's talk about Apple's new iPhone 13, this satellite feature that it's supposedly going to have. So it means it'll be equipped to handle space-based mobile communications, so you could make calls even beyond the reach of cellular networks, maybe have a conversation with an alien, I don't know. This does change the game. The question is, do we really need this feature?
I think it's not a feature that most people will need right now. I think most people that have a smartphone today, you know, they have cellular coverage wherever they are, 4G, 5G. In a big city like ours and in many big cities, you don't need that satellite communications. But if you live in a rural area with poor connectivity, or you're in the wilderness, you want to go hiking, I think this will be really useful for emergencies as well. Over the long term, I think this feature on the iPhone would be, you know, it can connect to a satellite internet provider. And that could be a game changer, you know, that really takes off around the world.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, I don't mean to sound too science fiction, but if we had a colony on the moon, we could actually communicate with people there with this feature to some degree.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. There'll be a bit of a lag, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool to think about it. But you know, we talked a lot about the good stuff. To be honest, Apple has not always had a good side. I mean, it recently settled a lawsuit with a group of US app developers. They alleged that they were overcharged for years by Apple's revenue cut. And then separately, you've got South Korea likely to bar Apple as well as Google from requiring the use of their in-app purchase systems. Is this cause for concern for Apple? Could it dent their potential earnings?
Yeah, so what's happening here is that Apple takes a 30% cut whenever someone purchases an app through the App Store, but not just when they download the app, but whenever you make an in-app purchase, 30% of everything. So like some apps, like especially games, right, have a lot of in-app purchases. Mm. So Apple forces, you know, the developers to use their payment system inside the app to make those transactions. All right, so if this goes away and, you know, these apps can go through other payment channels, Apple's going to take a hit. You know, there's no way to worry about it. So I think Apple at this point, they're reducing the commissions for small developers, I think, that make less than $1
million
to 15% for at least 3 years. And now they're allowing developers to let their users know that, you know, through other channels like email, that they can pay through other methods. But you still can't do that through the app, all right? So, of course, if this happens, yeah, I think this will be a dent in Apple's earnings in this area.
Adam, with everything that we talked about, I mean, Apple's stock price rose overnight by about 0.4% to hit its second highest close ever. And, you know, bearing in mind the conversation that we've just had at these levels, how attractive is the stock to you?
I remember when Apple was below $1 trillion, maybe 10 years ago, and everyone was, I think it was at $500 billion, and everyone was thinking, could it double up to become $1 trillion? Because no company had ever hit $1 trillion, right? Mm. And now it's at $2 trillion. So I think the potential for Apple is, the runway is still there. I think, of course, it's not going to be as easy to grow as it's such a big company, but I think the runway for Apple is still there. And if anyone wants to invest, I think it's a great company to have a look at. Valuation is a different thing altogether. I think you can make your own decision whether it makes sense. But I think, yeah, Apple is still a great company.
I think also because there's that cultural element when it comes to Apple, right? It's like being part of an ecosystem and, you know, naturally, you feel more vested in it in that sense.
Yeah, I think that's the great thing that Jobs has built and then Tim Cook has built upon, which is that they've built this ecosystem around all this Apple hardware, your iPhone, your watch, your Mac, and everything's connected. And I think that's what Cook has done so well, because he's joined the services segment for Apple, and then you use all these subscription services that is really sticky, it's hard to get out of, and you just want to continue using the Apple ecosystem, get used to it.
Yeah, you're locked in. I've been speaking with Adam Wong, Editor-in-Chief, The Fifth Person. Adam, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.